Well, hello there. Hey. Hey, guys.
Welcome.
You notice anything different, huh? Do you?
Maybe like a song or something?
Like a theme song that maybe we didn't actually have to like sing?
Use our mouths to do?
We didn't use our mouths.
We used our thumbs.
That sounds weird.
Because we played spoons. We played with all the spoons. We created this song that you love.
And I hope you enjoy it.
We know that you will.
If we figure out how to put it in,
we think it's before really cool. This. I hope it is before this because this will make no sense.
Yeah, so go back, rewind. And listen. Oh, by the way, welcome. This is Making Poor Decisions podcast. If you didn't know that already.
Where we drink Meech's and some weird shit she's drinking over there.
Hey, man, this is only weird because you think it's weird. It's a blackberry sangria. Hard cider.
It's a murder.
It's a murdering hard cider.
Murder.
Oh my god.
Okay, it is now time for the dingus of the week. This award goes to the police who were staking out William Proctor's house in Tulsa. They surrounded his property and called backup and were waiting 9 hours for him to come out of the house, which they believed he was inside and barricaded. But actually, it was just his two doggies.
The little doggies, they don't want to get in trouble.
His two cute little
doggies.
And
it's not like they can just put their hands above their heads and open the door.
So the police got in. William was not there.
Did they arrest the dogs?
They did not arrest the dogs.
They didn't get taken into custody?
Nope. But there's some cute photos. I mean, they probably did some with the dogs because they don't think William's coming back. But there's some cute photos of the little dogs. And you can find them on Oklahoma's News 4 website.
OklahomasNews4.com. Just kidding. I don't know the website.
K4.com.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, guys, look it up. The cute dogs.
Don't be a dingus. You police officers.
Yeah.
And also, this guy murdered somebody.
So try to find him.
Let's fucking find him.
Yeah. He found his dogs. Maybe they can sniff him out.
Maybe have another dog. Crime sniffing dog. Sniff his dogs to find him.
Or maybe, have your dog talk to his dogs.
Get on the dog phone.
Talk on that dog.
It's just a ringing bone.
Radio.
That's what the bones are.
It's talk on the
ring,
bone.
Ring.
The bone phone.
And he picks his the bone.
Google it. Everyone Google the bone phone.
It's our sponsor this week.
Please make sure you have malware before you Google bone phone.
You might
get a virus.
You might not want to do that on Google your parents'
it,
computer.
Google it. Do it while you're at work. Do it while you're on mom's
Use
computer.
Use a promo code
bone phone.
So we got some poor decisions this week. We went to the fair.
This was her poor decision.
Yeah. It was 1,000,000,000 degrees.
It was hot.
It was so hot, you guys. And I was kind of drunk, and then I got a drink that was very strong, and it tastes like Robitussin.
Was it Robitussin DM?
What is that? What is
Drunk Mamacita?
What? Yes, that's what it was. Drunk Mamacita, Robitussin, slushy.
Slushy.
Anyways, it was fun times. Didn't get my corn dog. Just disappointing.
She got a Crunchwrap.
Yeah, whatever.
That's pretty good.
That was good. Now, we just went and got In-N-Out, and I ate too much food, and now I want to die.
So there's been a couple poor decisions.
Yeah. You got any poor decisions?
I got a poor decision.
Tell me everything.
Girl, you were there. We were looking up places.
Apartments for me to move into.
I found a couple great ones. And I found this one in particular that was like, pets are welcome, the neighbors are friendly. And it just had one photo of the outside.
But No square footage.
No inside photos. And I was like, we got to drive by this one.
Welcome, all ages welcome.
It looks good.
It looks good.
And we get there, and it is a mobile home park, and it is Spaces.
There's space number six.
Space six for $9.50. You have to bring your own home. It's just an empty parking space.
I was just going to park my CRV right in there.
And so just cover the seat. You got your RV.
Alicia just made the worst decision right now. This dingus got tahini in her eyeball.
It's so rude. It hurts so bad. I think I gotta flush it.
You're gonna flush it?
You gotta do a flush. The water, not the toilet.
Do you need help? I have some water here.
I want your shit-ass bottle water.
This is from
Nestle.
You fucking bought this water. I just filled this with
water.
I filled it with your water. Just a
you
bottle.
You stole my water.
Yes, I stole your water.
You thief.
Yes. Would you want to flush or not?
I had two functioning eyes right now. You don't even
you
know.
You look like one of those cats. One of those little feral cats from outside. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Okay. It is story time.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is the crazy, fucked up story of Nicholas Barclay.
Who?
Nicholas Barclay.
Barclay.
I'm about to tell you who the fuck he is in a moment.
Barclay.
Nick was a 13-year-old boy from Texas. He went missing in 1994 after a basketball game with his friends at the neighborhood park.
A basketball game?
That's what you said. A basketball game.
Basketball game.
On with my story.
Sorry, he's missing. It's sad. Okay.
When Nicholas first went missing, his family didn't really care or think that he was really missing. They just thought he ran away. Because he was a troubled kid, and he was actually scheduled to go to fucking court the next day.
For what?
They don't really say why he was going to court, but they do say he ditched school a lot and he punched a teacher once. And
he punched him?
Yeah, he punched a teacher and he had really bad, like, anger issues.
Clearly.
So the court hearing was to determine if he needed to go to a juvenile home for delinquents. So, his family just assumed he ran away because he didn't want to deal with all that. But then, as they searched his room, it became clear that he didn't bring anything with him. They think he only had $5 on him. They ended up opening a missing person, but had virtually no leads. They were like, where could he have gone? Because he didn't have any money, he didn't bring anything, he couldn't pay
for... $5.
He got $5. Ice cream. They're like, he can't pay for a home, he can't pay for a ticket
anywhere.
He
get ice cream, you sit under
he
a bridge.
He get ice cream and hitchhike, so... They're like, he probably hitchhiked. They put missing posters everywhere. Nicholas, in the posters, they described him as a blonde, blue-eyed male, about 4'8", and he was born and raised in Texas. So, again, they think he hitchhiked. 3 months after he disappeared, police received a call from Jason Barclay. So, that's Nicholas's uncle. He claimed that he saw Nicholas break into the garage. But when police arrived, he said, he ran away. They could never prove it. 3 years later, so it's 1997 now, they received a phone call. Nick had been found. He was lost and scared in the middle of a Spanish village.
What the a Spanish village?
Yeah.
Wait, where? In Mexico?
In Europe.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so this took place...
Texas.
And then they found him in fucking
they
Europe.
They found him in Europe.
How does that happen?
So, I'll get to that. Immediately, so they flew weird. Him home. The family welcomed back a brown-eyed, brown-haired...
Oh, my God. I watched this documentary. I watched this documentary.
Yeah. So, he has a thick accent.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Good. Okay.
So I knew I watched
it. Don't fucking spoil it.
Okay.
So, the family, they didn't make any mention of any of the obvious inconsistencies. They just welcomed him like he was their own. So they put him on the news as, they put it as a story with a happy ending. You know, that the family was reunited, news reporters and investigators were all drawn to the story. But a few investigators were determined to find out what happened to Nicholas Barclay during the 3 years he was missing. So when they interviewed Nicholas, he said he was kidnapped on his way home from the park where he'd been playing basketball.
Basketball.
Then he was taken on a plane to Europe where kidnappers forced him into sex trafficking and changed his hair color and his eye colors to hide his identity. He said he escaped and made it to safety where he was discovered by a local law enforcement officer who allowed him to call home.
Reverse. Changed his eye color.
Yeah. It's not even possible.
Stupid.
It's not even possible.
These people are so stupid. Yeah. Okay, keep going. So this is such a good story.
There was one investigator in particular who drew interest. His name was Charles Parker. Charles believed none of this added up and that the boy looked way older than 16.
Oh my God.
So Charles actually had an interview with Jason Barclay, Nicholas's uncle. But Jason committed suicide before the interview ever happened.
It's so fucked up.
This just added to the suspicion. So Parker convinced the family to get a DNA test. Well, Parker was fucking right.
Ding, ding, ding.
This shit was not adding up.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Guess how old he was. Well, maybe you know.
Yeah. Do you already know? Like, wasn't he like 30?
He was 23.
Yeah.
So 16-year-old, like, yeah. He was 23.
And he was like
so different.
He looked super like Hispanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is like, he has the clearly dark
accent.
Roots,
yeah.
A thick accent, super brown eyes, brown eyebrows, just like doesn't look
it looks anything. So good. You have to watch the documentary now.
I know, I actually put it in my queue.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So he was really a Frenchman named Frederick Borden. Frederick was a serial imposter. Mm-hmm. He was known as the Chameleon by Interpol. He spent his entire life impersonating missing children. He hadn't thought this one through, though, because he was definitely older and didn't really look like the child he was impersonating. He was said to have created over 40 false identities and names. He was wanted by Interpol for years. In fact, in 2003, Borden stole the identity of a 14-year-old male named Leo Bali, who vanished on a camping trip 8 years earlier.
What a garbage motherfucker.
Yeah. So when Borden heard the story of the distraught American family looking for his son, he made his move. He was able to keep the charade up for 3.5 months, supposedly even fooling the Barclay family.
Yeah, the family's stupid as fuck, though.
Or there's theories later.
I know, but the whole thing is so fucked up.
Authorities arrested Frederick and sentenced him to 6 years in prison, which was double the recommended time. There are theories that the Barclays knew he was 23 and that he wasn't their son because he didn't look anything like their son.
He had an accent.
He didn't act like him. He was way taller. Like, I know 3 years had aged, but still, he didn't
like,
even,
you don't grow different color.
He didn't even have, like, the same build.
Yeah.
To this day, they haven't found the body of Nicholas. The investigation is still open. And despite being jailed in 1997 for pretending to be Nicholas Barclay, Borden was caught again.
This bitch.
This guy just can't stop impersonating people.
Oh my God.
In 2005, he was caught again pretending to be a Spanish orphan at a French school.
Oh my God.
And I hate him. I guess that wasn't it for him because in 2007, he married a French woman named Isabel. And he
got fucking married?
Yeah.
Somebody married that piece of shit?
He has 3 kids.
Ew.
He vowed to stop impersonating people, probably because he got too old to
Yeah, or he's going to impersonate his fucking anymore. Kids.
So he's 38 now with children. Yeah, so that's the side-by-side.
I hate that he, like, dyed his fucking hair.
So we're going to post it. So we have a picture of Nick when he was 13 and then the 23-year-old that impersonated him, Frederick, and we'll post it on the Instagram.
A.K.A. that dumb bitch.
Yeah, Nick and the dick who impersonated him.
Nick and the dick.
That's my crazy fucked up story,
dude, guys. Okay, so there, I remember watching this documentary, and shout out to True Crime Obsessed because I always watch the documentaries that they
okay.
Yeah, that's how I was like, I probably watched it when you said it was a documentary.
It's a twist.
Yeah, so twist. They think that like a family member killed him.
Yes.
And like buried him in the backyard, and like in the last scene of this like documentary, they're like digging in the backyard.
Yeah,
so they didn't find anything.
Yeah, they did dig the whole backyard because they felt like Jason and the mother, so the uncle and the mom, they felt like they couldn't handle Nick. That's what everybody said because of his aggression and his anger. And that they think that they worked together to kill him. And that's why when this kid impersonated, it just was perfect.
They were like,
when he impersonated him, they're like, well, welcome him in because nobody's going to look for Nicholas now.
Yeah, it was fucked because, like, you get, first, like, you get the perspective of, like, what's his name? Francisco. What is his name?
Fred.
Frederick. Oh, that's
Borden. Good.
Yeah.
And Nicholas.
So,
Barclay.
You see, what's his name?
Nicholas.
No.
Frederick. There's only two here.
Frederick. And the beginning, and he, like, goes through how he was able to impersonate him. It was so stupid.
Yeah. Dyed his hair blonde.
Well, yeah, and I think it was like somebody was supposed to interview him, and they didn't really do it. They just shipped him over.
Yeah.
And then,
because the family was like, everybody says that the family was like so defensive. They were like, no, this is our son.
They were adamant.
Yeah.
And then you see the family. The family is in the documentary.
Yeah.
It was so interesting. And they were like, oh, yeah, I know for a fact that this is my brother or whatever. And I was like, you dumb bitch.
You don't. Are you colorblind?
Fucking no, nothing.
His hair is a different color. His eyes are
He's
different
a horse
color.
Of a different color. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
But so it's sad that nobody knows what happened to him.
I know. Well, somebody knows something.
Well, somebody.
Somebody does.
Knows something for
somebody
sure.
Somebody knows something.
Well, don't impersonate motherfuckers.
Yeah, and check our Instagram because there'll be photos and it's really...
Yeah, it's so weird.
Really weird to see.
And watch the documentary. Now I have to. I'll look up what that documentary is.
I think it's called The Imposter.
You're probably right.
Yeah, because I was like,
I think it's like on Hulu.
Hulu or Netflix, one of the two.
Yeah. It's really good. You guys should watch it.
We're gonna post it on the Insta.
Yes. Okay, so my story is kind of funny, kind of weird.
Oh
my god,
funny.
What did I just do? Okay. So, do you know the Pythagorean theorem? Pythagorean
yes.
theorem.
I'm familiar.
I think it's like a squared plus b squared is c squared. Anyways, who cares? So this
has the ABCs in it.
Yes.
Got it.
This is a story of Pythagoras.
Ooh.
Yes.
Taking it back.
Way fucking back. So he was an ancient Greek philosopher and founder, of course, of the Pythagorean theorem, he basically is smart as shit and discovered a bunch of shit I don't understand. School is not my strong point.
Smart guy.
Yeah, very smart
fella.
And he also was a founder of the Pythagoreanism. I can't say a lot of the words in this, so bear with me. Anyways, the cult of Pythagoras.
Okay,
more on that in a moment.
It's a fucking cult in here.
Just some background. He
Math
was the first.
Cult.
It was a kind of. It was weird.
Meth cult?
So it was said he was the first to call himself a philosopher. And he was the first to divide the globe into five climatic zones.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. Yeah. Anyways, back to the cult stuff.
So
the cult of Pythagoras originated in the 16th century BC, ooh, way fucking back in the day. The cult was based on the teachings and beliefs held by Pythagoras and his followers.
How many followers he got?
More than us.
Oh, shit. That's a lot of
it
followers.
So it
we
doesn't
like
say, like, how many. Ah, what did I do?
Oh, no. She had this out
okay,
there
the
little
go.
iPad.
I am. Okay, so, god damn it, where did it go?
1600 BC.
6th century BC. So, way more back than 1600. So, the first cult Pythagorean community was established in Crotone, Italy.
Okay.
Again, back in the fucking day. And they were, like, spread throughout, like, old Greek okay. Greece.
Greeks and Greece.
Yes. They had some unique ideals on life. Here's a few.
Tell me more.
So, they strictly forbid the consumption of meat, which is, like, whatever.
Vegans.
Yeah. So, it's resulting in his followers becoming some of the earliest known vegetarians. Cool, I guess. I'm sure they didn't tell everybody about it. you know.
They weren't like, oh, you're eating meat today.
Did you know?
Did you know I'm that vegetarian. Cat was brutally beat?
That cat? That cow. Did you know that goat?
Oh, that cow. Nobody eats cats.
It was back in the day. We don't know what was happening back then.
Oh, this poor cat.
Poor cat. So they wore specific garb that was commonly only amongst their followers. They abstained from, like, flesh on flesh, so
no doing it.
No doing it. However, we do know that Pythagoras himself did not die a virgin. Homie got it in. We don't know. I don't know anything else about that. But
okay.
It did say in some of these articles that
he got around.
So he had some more incredibly strict and specific rules for basically everything, including which shoe to put on the foot first.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You gotta know. Was it left first or
one
right
must
first?
Put the right shoe on first.
Oh, right. Right is right, left is wrong.
And once your shoes were on, he said, one must not travel on public roads. He didn't stop at footwear, though. He weighed in on the 5-second rule for food that falls on the floor. And he says, taste ye of what falls beneath the board.
Does that mean you get 5 seconds?
I don't know what it means.
It means eat it, but taste you have to eat it while you're on the floor.
Of what falls beneath the board. I don't know what tasty. Ye means. Ye ye? I don't know what
it's
it means.
It's tasty when it falls on the ground, so
more
eat it.
Flavors. So he was exceptionally strict about sex. Bodily fluids Pythagoras seemed to have believed were part of a man's soul. When a man expelled them, he gave up some of his strengths.
Those are called, that's called semen.
Oh, that's correct. You are correct. That is what it is called.
Those are the strengths.
The followers were taught to abstain from sex whenever possible. But if it could not help themselves, he told them, keep to the winter for sexual pleasure. In summer, abstain. It's all sweaty. Okay. It's a mess, you know?
Too hot for that.
Yes. So, there were two types of Pythagoras followers. The names are hard to say. I'm going to try.
Give it your best shot. No
okay.
Stuttering.
Mathematicoi, I think.
The mathlete.
Yeah. Mathlete.
The head of the cult.
The mathletes. Basically. These were the followers that were most trusted. He could meet with Pythagoras in person, and he would share his theorems and secrets with them. They were allowed to know secrets of advanced math, blah, 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 all that horseshit.
But?
They were, no, no but.
Were they were allowed to drop food beneath ye
Hold
board?
On, I'm getting there. They were kept hidden from the rest of the world. Oh, no, no, they weren't kept hidden. The secrets were kept hidden.
I was like, they were under the board. They were beneath ye boards.
Ye boards. They did have to pay a price for the privilege of all of that bullshit. So to become a mathematicoi, a person had to give up meat, women, and all private possessions. From then on, their only loyalty was Pythagoras. Well, the rest were allowed to be a cosmaticoi. Hmm. Yes. Those were...
Call your dad. You're in a cult.
Basically. Followers who were never allowed to see Pythagoras' face. When he spoke to them, Pythagoras would be hidden behind a veil, like the Wizard of fucking Oz. Nothing was explained to them in any detail. They were just expected to follow his rituals. They could not be trusted with the dangerous secrets of the higher mathematics.
Ooh. Math so secrets. Stupid.
I said, okay. So yeah, it's weird. Anyways, don't worry. This is going somewhere. I know it's weird. There's a fucking bug.
Continue.
What was that?
Ignore it.
Okay. So, homie had some weird-ass rules. And the strangest rule of all, this is my favorite rule, is that none of his followers were allowed to eat beans. Don't touch them. Don't look at them. Don't even think about them beans.
Because of the foul odor they create.
Don't you think about them beans.
Is that why?
I'm getting there.
Just gotta know.
I'm gonna tell you. So his followers were never to touch fava beans. Beans, he taught, took away a piece of the soul. They were flatulent, he explained. when that gas came out, it would partake most of the breath of life, per Pythagoras. He believed beans contained the souls of dead and told his followers, eating fava beans and gnawing on the heads of one's parents are one in the same.
Man, if any of these people ate one taco from Taco Bell,
they'd be fucked.
They don't even think it kicked out of that cult.
No. He so strictly believed in the bean idea that it ultimately led to his death. How do you ask? Do beans kill someone? I'm gonna get to that.
He ate so many beans.
He didn't eat them, though.
Oh, he didn't eat
them. He can't eat the beans.
But I thought he was like, no one's looking, I'm gonna eat all these beans.
No, but he believed in it so much. That's what led to his death. So, remember the followers that aren't allowed to see Pythagoras' face?
Yes.
Well, one little fella had it. He was like, fuck this shit. I want to see this motherfucker's face.
Yeah.
So he's mad. And then he went to the home of Pythagoras, and he set that bitch on fire. And burned it down to the ground. Well, Pythagoras, he made a fucking run for it. So people are chasing him.
He used the theory to figure out the fastest way. He's like, quickly, A plus B equals C.
that's how he did it. So he ran for his life. But he stopped. He stopped before it filled the motherfucking beans.
Oh, no.
Yes, he would rather die,
no,
he declared, than step on a single bean.
You smart little idiot.
He let the men cut his throat so the beans could live. And so I have to share this funny-ass, like, excerpt that I found. It's from Philosophy Now, and it's just really well-written, and it's funny.
Okay.
Okay. Suddenly, Pythagoras came to a stop. A vast bean field stretched before him. He stood frozen, uncertain what to do. His eyes focused on a single bean dangling inches from his papyrus-covered feet. So true was he to his ideal that even at the risk of losing his own life, he was unwilling to trample upon even a single bean. Staring down upon the vibrant bean, the sun low in the sky, he imagined it to be blossoming into a divine ripeness before him, and as he stood there, hesitating, contemplating his next move, his pursuers caught up with him. They lifted their weapons, and bringing the knives down hard, spilled Pythagoras' blood onto the plants, ending his life for the sake of a bean, and for the deep wisdom immersed in that diminutive cosmic object. And that's the story of how Pythagoras sacrificed his life for the sake of the beans.
Oh my god. I know. That is a good one.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I cannot believe it.
I don't know. So people are pretty sure the beans had something to do with it. However, they're not certain that's why he was running. But it's still a great story.
That's a good one. Yeah. I love it.
It took a lot of research.
No beans.
No beans. Don't touch them.
Don't
look at them.
Don't smell them.
Don't eat them.
Hold your breath until you pass out and get your throat slit.
Yes.
The end.
Yeah. So, do you have a lime wedge this week? Anything happy, positive, exciting?
I do. So, this weekend, I looked at some wedding dresses. I did not try any on because I did not have an appointment. But on Saturday, I'm going to go with my mom. With you.
With me.
With Garrett's grandma.
Grandma Betty.
Grams is coming. I'm going to try on a bunch of dresses. They're going to stuff me in and zip me up.
Can't wait to see
and
it.
Hopefully they do all the work and I just get to stand there.
I think you just stand there and they just shove you into things.
I'm going to put my arms up in the air.
Yeah, like, that's it.
Do you think?
Like a toddler.
Yeah.
You stand there. They,
help.
You know, they put the onesie on you. They snap the
zip
bottom.
Yes, suck zip it in. You. you're like, I'm a size 4, and then they give you a size 4.
We have a 2.
You're like, yeah. we have a 2, so we can make this work.
Yeah, let's just rub. Can't. They just start
give
rubbing.
Give me a 6.
Just start rubbing Crisco all over you and just butter you into this fucking.
And then you get stuck in it and you rip it, they can make you buy it.
Break you buy it. Right.
And be like, she broke it.
It's like, the lady that tried stuffed you in it.
No, the girl in the waiting room broke it.
The waiting room. It's the hospital.
And then I'll run.
Yeah, with the veil. Like
with the dress stuck on me.
Like in Bridesmaids.
Yeah, I'm pooping the...
I'm shitting. I'm doing it. Shitting in the street.
Middle of the road.
Just don't shit in the street. You're fine.
Do you have a lime wedge?
Yeah, I thought of one before we started this.
What happened to it?
It went away. No, I guess the only really cool thing this week is just that I found a cool show that I like.
And?
It's called In the Dark. You
and
guys should check it out.
Subtitles.
It's no subtitles. It's really good. It's about this blind chick who's hella sassy, just like me. And she's looking for, like, her friend and trying to figure out what happened to him. And it's really good. I like
it. So it's like what you would do if I was missing.
Exactly. Only I have eyeballs that I can see out of.
Oh, dang. You trying to one-up a blind girl?
She's not really blind, this person.
It's getting messed up.
But in the show, she is. And also, I got to read some of my book today.
That's good.
Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered book.
Yeah.
I'm not stealing catchphrases. That is the name of the book.
And we love Karen and Georgia. We want them to be our best friends.
Yeah.
Steven.
And the cats. We want Frank and George. And we want Mimi, Dottie, and Elvis to come hang out with us.
But don't meet my dog, Jack, because he might eat them.
He might eat them. Yeah. So that's my lime wedge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty good one.
Thanks. So if you haven't noticed, guys, we didn't have any fucking listener stories this week.
Yeah, do we have any listeners?
Yeah, where are you guys?
Where are you guys?
Is this thing on?
Caitlin, are you out there?
Are you out there, you little hoebag?
You're not
just kidding, you're not a
hoebag.
That was rude.
Dang. Steven, edit that out.
Cut it out.
Wait. Steven, we need a Steven. Is anyone looking for a job?
We do.
Thanks, Steven.
Anybody know how to podcast? Because we sure the fuck don't.
Yeah, but your name has to be Steven.
We need help, Steven.
Steven, we need help.
We'll call you Steven, even if your name isn't
Steven. Yeah, you could be a Willy. But you just have to
a Willy?
Yeah. You just have to be okay with being called
a Willy. I would like Willy. Hey, Willy!
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 Willy! David.
David. Oh, my God. What if his name was David?
David. Actually,
ew, David.
That.
Cut it out.
We want a David.
Yeah, we'll take a
we
David.
We want the David.
Yeah, give us David.
Schitt's Creek. David.
Call us. Here's
whatever
our phone number.
Name is. Do you know his real name?
It's Daniel Levy.
Daniel Levy, if you're out there, we love you.
We love you. I follow him on Instagram.
Wait.
I'm going to add him.
Yeah.
From our podcast.
Maybe you know how to podcast and you could help us.
Yeah, maybe you can be
maybe
a guest.
Maybe you don't and you're just going to hate it. But we'll see.
But anyways, I'm not done yet.
What
this tangent is going all crazy. I was saying, please, listeners out there, all five of you.
Yeah.
If you have any stories that you want to share with us, you can remain anonymous. But hit us up on IG, at us. It's Making Poor Decisions Pod. And that's P-O-U-R, you idiots. Look at the freaking title.
Yeah, like how you pour a drink.
Yeah, like a drink, because we're drinking.
Not duh. Pour like you only got nickels in your pocket.
Yeah, no nickel pocket people.
No nickel pocket people. This is silver dollar pockets only.
Yeah, only silver dollars. And, oh, and you can also email us at makingpoordecisionspod@gmail.com. Again, that's P-O-U-R.
Email us.
Yeah, fucking
because
email
we
us.
We check our email, and we got nothing.
We got zero emails. They're all from the podcast app.
I'm like, ooh, did we get anything today?
Nope.
Nothing.
You're really making us sad. Like, nobody wants to listen.
Email us.
Email
tell
us.
Tell us your dumb shit.
Listen to us. We're on Spotify, Apple Pod. Rate us on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah,
give us a review.
3 5-star reviews. One is not my mom.
Yeah. Definitely not my mom because she doesn't even know what a podcast is. She's like, oh, Sarah, what is that? And I told her I was on the radio.
It would make the most sense.
It would. Well, anyways, that's all we got for you, folks.
The end.